Psalm 66, verse 16 says this: "Come and hear, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul." That's a testimony. The greatest evangelistic tool you have, Christ follower, is your testimony. The story that God has written in your life, which culminates in your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Are you prepared to tell somebody? 1 Peter chapter 3, as Peter writes his letter to the suffering church, living in a world that is persecuting those who would know Christ, or those that know Christ, he said, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that's in you." That is your testimony. This morning, we will hear four precious, God-honoring testimonies. Each of these individuals needed rescuing, which ultimately led to their understanding of their need to be saved from their sins that leads to hell. That is why Jesus came. Not to give you a better life, but to give you eternal life. That's what those martyrs understood. Do you? Salvation's a great word, isn't it? The word saved in the Bible carries the meaning of being rescued from danger and into safety. Look how the word's used in the scriptures, in God's word. In Romans chapter 10, it says, "But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart," that's what embodies everything about who you are, your intellect, your will, your desire, everything, "that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It's not a Baptist word. It's a biblical word. "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the one's mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's exactly what Jesus did. He rescues us from hell. He rescues us from our sin and that separation that sin causes. Each of these individuals that will come up here have already been rescued. The baptismal does not save them. They have already been saved because they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save them. The baptism is a symbol. I wear a ring. That means I'm married. If I wasn't married, if I wore a ring, you would think, he's weird. What's he wearing a ring for? He's not married. Now, I am married and I wear this ring. It's a symbol. If I take this ring off, am I still married? Yes. That's the greatest illustration I can say for what biblically what baptism is. For someone to get baptized that doesn't know Jesus, it's like wearing a ring when you're not married. It might have been for your parents. It might have been for somebody else. But it is not biblical. If that's a surprise to some of you. The Bible makes it clear. Baptism is a symbol to anyone who's watching. I have been rescued. And I want to identify with my Savior, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. For because he lives, so now I live. I am so thankful for the opportunity to hear once again of Jesus rescuing individuals. But it begs the question to each one of you, do you have a testimony to share? I was just at a funeral for our dear brother in Christ, Lou Reese, who passed away on Sunday. And you know what, you know, oftentimes I do funerals, and sometimes I do funerals, and no one knows whether they were saved or not. And so as a pastor, I will eulogize those individuals, but I will absolutely point everyone who's listening to Jesus Christ. But you know what made Lou's testimony so great at his funeral? Is that Lou gave a testimony of salvation. He let everyone know, specifically in our church, as he became a member of our church, he had to give a testimony of saving faith. And so it was such a privilege at his burial site to tell people he saw Jesus face to face on Sunday because he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Oh, these testimonies are so important. But man, are they so important while you're on this side of the grave. May this be a reminder to all of us. Our testimonies are the legacy that we really leave. And my prayer is, it's a testimony of being saved through Jesus Christ. So, Michaela, you get the opportunity of going first. Michaela, come on up and share your testimony to the church.
Okay, can you guys hear me okay? Is this good? Okay. Hello, my name is Michaela Lynn. I have been coming to High Point Church for a little over a year now. I grew up knowing about God, but not how to prioritize him. Growing up, my family went to the Catholic Church. We did all of the ceremonial things from baptism to First Communion and so on. However, life got busy with sports and camping that we just slowly stopped going. I spent a lot of my life dancing competitively. Towards the end of my sixth grade season of dance, I tore a muscle in my leg. This made it hard to do a lot of moves and meant that I needed to take time off to heal. So around my seventh grade year, I decided to spend my newfound free time getting confirmed Catholic. This sparked my love for God. So I began reading the Bible and learning more about God. I was trying to incorporate him into every aspect of my life, including school. However, after getting confirmed, things got busy again and we quit going to church. Throughout this whole time, I was always taught about God, but didn't take the time to practice my belief by going to church or truly studying the Bible. Once high school hit, I grew very anxious. I found myself having asthma attacks at dance practice that actually stemmed from my anxiety. Throughout high school, though, I spent my Wednesday evenings at the Goodman's Youth Group. Their youth group showed high schoolers what it is like to have fellowship. They taught me about the Bible and encouraged me to share my faith with anyone that would listen. I would consider around this time to be my true crossover point. Around this time, I put a lot of my trust in the Lord and depended on him. My relationship with the Lord started to become personal. I began realizing that Jesus died for my sins. Instead of having the mindset that I could sin and just apologize later, I started to truly feel sorry for my sins. Fast forward to my junior year of high school, I met my boyfriend Sam. He introduced me to High Point Church. It only took coming one Sunday to realize what I had been missing out on. I remember getting teary-eyed just realizing how many people came to worship the good Lord. It was at this very church that I started to actually want to go to church, instead of just feeling like I had to or needed to. I find myself being eager to learn here on Sundays. Since then, I've continued to grow in my faith. I even signed up for my first Bible study with Amber Soy. This was a truly life-changing experience. I learned how to study the Bible instead of just reading it. It was during this time that I began thinking about being baptized again. I talked to the ladies in this study about how I wanted to get baptized, but didn't feel like I was ready yet. I really started to think about when I would be ready. I didn't think that I would be ready until I quit sinning, understood the entire Bible, went to church every single Sunday, and so on. I then realized that if these were the circumstances, then I would never feel ready. How many of you feel the same way? Like you'll need to do this and that before you can be baptized. Well, let me ask you what Amber and her daughter Katie asked me. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and was raised from the dead 3 days later? Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you love the Lord your God? If your answer to these questions is yes, then you are ready. As a baby, I was baptized, but this time I get to publicly and verbally declare my love for Jesus. The verses that I chose are Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I choose to trust in the Lord at all times, even when it's hard. A cure to my anxiety has been my trust in the Lord. Since being saved, I feel more at peace in my body. I feel at peace because my trust is in the Lord. Additionally, I have noticed the good Lord purifying my speech each and every day. So from today on, I will try to live like Jesus through the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Thank you.
Amen. Great job. Proud of you. Yeah. Jen. Praise the Lord, Michaela. You realize when they don't turn the air conditioning on, it gets kind of sweaty up here, doesn't it? All right. There you go. Yes, you are.
Good morning. My name is Jen Schweinebart, and I started coming to High Point Church. Oh, it's been only a few months, but my life prior to salvation, I had lots of struggles, anxiety, and I felt lost. I was rough around the edges. Past decisions were not so good, but some of those decisions are what helped me to get here. I had lots of anxiety and uncertainty of where I was going or how I was going to get through my troubles. I felt lost a lot. Even though I have a great family and support system, I still felt lost. Lost in my career choices, lost in how to raise my kids, lost in how to be a better wife and partner to my hubby. I wasn't raised in church. I'd go to church with a friend and her mom when I was younger, and I loved it because it was something I didn't have as a kid. My parents did the best they could, and I loved them for that. We just didn't go to church. But I am here now, and I am still me, just a better version of me. And the circumstances that brought me to High Point Church are these two ladies in the second row up here, Lisa Thomas and Charity Draper. Lisa has known me for a while, but she knows my son Ben even better. She took care of Ben because she was Ben's bus driver. Ben was a very anxious kid, and Lisa just made sure he was comfortable in being dropped off and picked up in the morning. And so that's how I knew of Lisa. I worked at Methodist Hospital in 2021 as a patient care tech, aka CNA. I took care of Charity's husband when he was ill. I did not want to be a sitter. I hated being a sitter because I don't like to sit. When I'm at work, I wanted to work. So I had a little bit of angst for being told I had to sit in a room with a guy I didn't know. But boy, am I glad I got to sit in that room. Because it helped me realized that I was there to help him. And one day, Charity had kind of a rough day. I was dressed in my COVID gown, and Charity opened the door, and she looked like she needed a hug. We weren't supposed to hug our patient's family, especially during COVID. I didn't care. Charity needed a hug. I am not a hugger. Charity needed a hug, and Charity got a hug. After Rod left my floor, I lost track of Rod and Charity, but I knew that they lived around me somewhere. I just wasn't quite sure where. And then, almost 2 years ago, my husband had a pretty severe accident, and we weren't sure if we were going to still have him. And Lisa took care of Ben and talked to Ben about doing a meal train for my family. And I just happened to be home on the weekend that Lisa was coming over to talk to me about the meal train, and Charity was there with her. That was awesome. And it was full circle. And I couldn't be happier. I didn't jump right into church because I wasn't ready. It took me almost 2 years to put my faith into coming into church. And Charity and Lisa always tried to include me, but I always declined because I wasn't sure how to be, because they had lost their husbands and I hadn't lost mine. But one day, just out of the blue, I got a message and they asked me to go to a ladies' night at a church. I had a rough day at work. I didn't want to go. I wanted to come home, shut out the world, and just go to bed. But I went. And I'm glad I went, because I met another awesome lady, Marilyn, and she also helped me come into Christ. And I started to go into church with Lisa and Charity, went to Ladies Engage. I absolutely loved it and fell in love with it. And there is when I made a decision that I was going to start going to church with my family. My husband was raised in a church. I was not. So that's my story of Lisa and Charity, and I am so thankful for these ladies. My salvation experience was June 2nd, 2024, so just beginning of June. I had my first communion ever, and in my prayer, I was asking forgiveness for my sins, asking for guidance through some rough patches in my life, and to help heal my hardened heart from my past. My verse that I have chosen is Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift from God. Thank you.
Amen. Aubrey and Mom, come on up. Thank you so much, Jen. All right, Aubrey, you ready? Mom, you help her?
Yeah.
There you go.
Before I was saved, I got in trouble a lot, suspended a lot at school. On May 15th, before school, my grandma was praying. I interrupted her to tell her I wanted to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I know Jesus died on the cross for me. I ask Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my heart.
Amen. Proud of you. I love testimonies that can be both young and older. Oftentimes people will say, well, why do you make them get up in front of people? Well, because I think it's so important to see both any age that God's in the business of saving. Whether you're 8, almost 7, almost 8. Yeah, I knew it was right around there. Or older than that, right, Bob? Come on up, Bob. Not much older. But I love hearing testimonies of all ages, because that's exactly how God saves people. He's not leaving, is he? All right. Bob, come up here and share what Christ has done for you.
My name's Bob Lee. All these guys, it's pretty tough to follow. But here we go. I let Greg read this Saturday morning, and he told me if I changed a word, he was going to punch me.
It's that good.
So I didn't even rewrite it. It's all still in my chicken scratch, so bear with me. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know that I'll get through it all, but I will try. I was born again. About 6 months ago, that's when I accepted Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
Roughly 62 and a half years old, I was when God took my dad home. He was a month shy of 90 years old, almost to the day. I was fortunate enough to be able to be with them. The last few months of his life, because of the type of work I do seasonal work, so it was pretty easy that time of year not to be outside. I got to tell you, I met my dad at his funeral. You see, my brother-in-law, Kevin, was a good Christian man. They lived down in Arkansas. He gave a last message to and about my dad, who he had only known about 20 years. As a Christian, he told me things about my dad that I never knew. Then my aunt got up, and she talked. And she taught even more about my dad that I did not know. Then one of my dad's good friends got up, Russ Sweeter, and he said more about the person who I called my dad that I never knew. The kicker to this whole thing is, then my dad, who was gone at the time, introduced himself to me through his own testimony. The man who was my earthly father could finally teach to his son what his son wouldn't hear for 62 and a half years. Then another man I didn't know stepped up and told me more about a dad I did not know. Pastor Greg was the man. I sat there on the pew after the funeral was over, crying. Greg came over to where I sat. And he asked me something I don't remember. I do remember I said to him, "How could I not know my dad?" And all these other people knew him so well. I'm sure he answered me, but in my grief, I honestly don't remember what he said. What I do remember is this man I'd never met asked me if he could pray for me. Could he put his hand on me and pray for me? He didn't know me, but he knew members of my family, and he had known my dad. I try to remember what he said as I sat there on the pew, the only ones left in the sanctuary, but I can't remember. What I do remember is this, the peace and the calm that came over me right then. With Greg, with his hand on my shoulder, praying for a man that had only gone to church on special holidays or funerals, always too busy. Always too busy with work, other things. Things I thought were important that they're not. That was what religious people did, not Bob Lee. I thought God would always watch out for Bob Lee because when I was 12, God had taken my brother, which hurt my mom and dad greatly. And I thought he would never hurt him again by doing anything to me. They were loved by God. They were very religious people. He wouldn't hurt them by letting something happen to me. Well, guess what? God didn't hurt them. I did. See, I lived next door to my mom and dad for 25, plus 25 years. They moved a house next door to me after I moved my house on the property. And in all those years right next door, I never knew my parents living right next door to me. I did not know my mom prayed for me every day for me to find my salvation and accept Christ as my Savior. I found out the other day, my sister told me that God answered her prayers and told her that I would find my salvation before she died. And I have, and she's right there. So there's your answer, folks. Greg asked me if I would come to church, and I told him I would. He invited me on that very, very sad day. I've not missed one since. I asked God to come into my heart and cleanse me. I went to my knees on the couch at home and confessed everything that I could think of. I prayed for my anger to go away. I prayed for my sisters to forgive me for being a jerk. I prayed for my mom to forgive me. I prayed for a change in my life. Greg walked me through some things, as did Todd Dorn. They both told me life would probably be harder now. As Satan, he'll want me back. He won't want me out here on God's side. But he also told me that all things were possible with God and that faith will get you through if you trust in him. You see, I want to know my Heavenly Father when the time comes to meet him. I never want to not know my Father ever again. I have come to know my mom better than ever as she and I ride together to church every Sunday, and I try to go see her every day. I don't have a vast knowledge of Scripture yet, but I try to read the Bible every day. I find motivational verses every time I read it. I don't think I'll tell you what ones hit me the hardest, but I will tell you to please read your Bible every day if you can. And if you do, I'm sure you will find several verses that hit home with you. I have made way too many mistakes in my life and done mean and bad things to friends and people I don't even know. If you are one of them or know any of them, I'm truly sorry and ask for forgiveness. I've asked God to change me. Have you all? Will you all? It will change your life. He guarantees it. That's all I got.
Amen.
Proud of you. So proud of you.
You ready to get baptized? Where's your towel? Cody, bring up his towel, would you? You got it? Oh, there's one right there. Okay. He's got one too. Well, you're going to be wet all the way over there. All right. Jump in, buddy. So I can get you a bar of soap too, and we can just kind of, you're going to face that way. It's not cold. Bob, hold on. You hold on. I got to talk to you. I want to pray for a second. Hey, it is an absolute privilege. Absolute privilege. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. So, brother, it is an absolute privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, buddy. All right, jump on up. You follow that guy right there. Otherwise, I'm going to be wetter than you. Get out of here. Praise the Lord, brother. Give that guy a round of applause. Aubrey, I get to dry off because guess who gets to baptize you? Your daddy. I'll take your towel. Why don't you go on in? And Dad, I'll let you have just a moment of prayer for her as you baptize her as well. You got you down. There you go. Jen, come on up. And Charity and Lisa, you come on up. As you have discipled her, you also get the privilege of baptizing her. And like I said, make sure she goes down. Don't hold her down. Okay. Well, this is even a better sacrifice. All right, go ahead and sit down, and I'm going to let you ladies pray with her and then baptize her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yep. They did it. There you go. Jen, we'll come this way. I'm gonna give you this. There you go. And Michaela. There you go. Follow that path. Yep, good idea. It is super warm. Michaela, what a privilege and a blessing to hear your testimony of saving faith. I've so been so blessed by you and your obedience and your desire to point people to Christ and also to demonstrate that in baptism. It is a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let's give them all a round of applause again. Why don't you please stand? Matt's going to close us up, but if you get an opportunity after the song, make sure that you encourage each of those individuals who shared their testimony and identified with Christ in baptism. Make sure you come over and say hi to them. Thank you so much for being here, and let's sing one final song.